Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
All right, here we are at the Half Mansion, as Lewis calls it. Welcome to the show, Believe You Me podcast, in the back garden. We're a little finagling, shall we say. We started in the front room. We tried it a few different places. Had to get the acoustics just right, and we decided to come out to the garden. Lewis, welcome to my back garden.
I'm very excited to be here at the Half Mansion. We brought the entire team. Harrington's here. Brian's here. Even the great Diego Lopez is roaming somewhere around in the gardens right now. This is amazing. If you guys don't know, this is about 4 or 5 acres out here. It's just tons of space. It's wild. There's just rose gardens. There's
zebras.
3 pools.
Giraffes roaming the grounds.
Yes, you have an entire African safari.
Yeah.
It's pretty incredible.
Listen, I've just got a bone to pick real quick because Lewis came here with his ragtag selection. Sorry, I'm talking to you people in the background here. You guys came and you've taken over my house and you're leaving shit everywhere. You're leaving shoes everywhere. I asked him before, I said, where can we put the shoes? He said, I'm like, Lewis, you have an entire bedroom dedicated to you. But that isn't any of my issue. That's not what I'm talking about.
I got a bone to pick too, just so you
what
know.
What I'm talking about
this is
our
new segment, bone to pick.
He comes in and he uses my fucking SpongeBob cup.
Oh my God.
Okay, out of all the cups that he could have chose, he uses my SpongeBob cup and then leaves it outside, precariously hanging on a stool.
A rhinoceros almost bumped into it.
I'm like, listen, there's a lot of cups in there. You don't, I will fight you properly. Yeah. Not like today. We'll get into that later. Not when I've dropped you.
A bone to pick with Louis J. Gomez and Michael Bisping.
pick away. But
first of all, when I come to the Half Mansion, I did not choose your SpongeBob mug. Your wife, in what I think was a weird move to make you angry, handed me the SpongeBob mug and said, here you go, my king. And I was like, whoa, I don't want to take the SpongeBob mug. And she set up this whole thing. The bone you have to pick is with your wife, not with me.
But if you had any kind of respect, you would have said, no, of course. That cup is the holy grail of all coffee drinking receptacles. Okay, I'm going to leave that well alone. Okay over there, Harrington? You looking a little concerned?
He has two SpongeBob mugs. But I have a new idea as well. Here's what I want you guys to do. We give away a lot on this show. Holy shit. We give away sanitable gloves. Ugh. We're giving away cryptocurrency with Timmy Fit.
We
just give. We give.
Givers.
We're 100% givers. What I want you guys to do is I want you to give back to the count. Okay? I want you to send Michael Bisping your SpongeBob houseware. Mugs, cups, plates, spoons, anything that could be used. Really, I think kitchenware.
Well, you're not having my address for one. Okay, so
I'll give it to him right now.
I have it memorized. Yeah. Okay. Great. I know lots of addresses, and you don't give them out on podcasts.
Give them the studio address, and we'll send them to you. 151 First Avenue, New York, New York. 151 First Avenue.
I don't want your SpongeBob shit.
Number 311. 151 First Avenue.
And he won't send it.
Yes, I will. Number 311, New York, New York.
Anyway, we got a lot to talk about.
Giving them the address.
Give it to them.
You won't.
We got a lot to talk about. Obviously, we had that. I don't know what the word is. Debacle. That I don't know what it was. That Mayweather stuff last night. We'll get into that in a little bit. Mayweather and Logan Paul. We had real fights at the Apex where Lewis and Brian were there. They got to watch firsthand. You got to sit behind Jean-Claude Van Damme.
I did.
We got a round.
Jean-Claude Van Damme got to sit in front of me.
Yeah, there you go. Probably means he was oblivious to your existence.
No.
You were behind him.
I'm a very intimidating presence. Ah. So I could tell he was eyeballing me the whole time. But first of all, Jean-Claude Van Damme, he looks like he's 30. He looks incredible.
Dude. I don't know if he looks like he's 30. I don't know. If you're looking at the same Jean-Claude Van Damme that I've seen many times.
I mean, it's all surgery, obviously, but he's still in great shape.
Oh, he's in fantastic shape.
The woman that he was with was maybe the hottest woman I've ever seen in my entire life. It was crazy.
I didn't see. I was focusing on the fights. But no, Van Damme, he's great, man. He's a legend. He's still in incredible shape. I was the biggest fan of him when I was a kid.
Were you?
I hung out with him after UFC 70 in Manchester. Afterwards, we were at the Lowry Hotel and having like, you know, a few drinks and whatnot, celebrating. Randy Couture was there, there's a few people, and then I looked around, there's Van Damme. So we spent all night just chatting away, drinking, eating with Van Damme. That was pretty cool for me as a kid, you know, because he was like my idol when I was a kid. Kickboxer and Bloodsport, all those movies, I just loved him. That's part of what got me into that, into martial arts. But anyway, we're not here to talk about Van Damme.
I'll tell another 10 Van Damme stories. We should make it a Van Damme podcast. Let's go.
We'll go ahead then.
All right. Well,
give me three.
I wish I had one.
I was going to say, I've got a couple. I know you've got none. In fact,
I got one now.
In fact, I'm not going to get into details. I can tell you off your air. Sorry, I apologize. That's annoying. But I got a few stories.
Oh, shit.
I got a few. But still, we got to look at this, not look at Brian. We apologize. That's the camera. It doesn't look like a camera. It looks like an iPhone on a stick, which is what it is. But still, what should we get into, Lewis?
So
what should
we
talk about?
A few things. I mean, first of all, thank you for having us. It was really cool. We met up in Vegas on Saturday after and saw the UFC at the Apex. We'll get into those fights in a minute. Bisping and Brian came out to my comedy show afterwards. We had a lot of fun, but then we drove back, and that drive was a true nightmare, dude. Because everything's open again.
This is your fault.
What is my fault?
Because I commentate the UFC. I jump in my car and I drive home straight away. That's why no traffic. No one's driving out of Vegas on a Saturday night. They're driving in for Saturday.
Right.
Obviously, we stayed over. We had a few drinks. We enjoyed ourselves. We had a great time. Then we drove back Sunday morning feeling like death. In fact, Brian felt particularly like death. If you looked on my Instagram story on Sunday, you would have seen Brian fast asleep in the back of the car.
And if you look at mine, you'd have seen him puking outside of the car.
Brian
in the desert.
Definitely had to pull over a few times to throw up. Yeah. I was feeling worse for wear as well.
And Bisping, by the way, no empathy for somebody who's sick in the back of a car. Brian goes, oh, they're going to throw up. We're going to pull over. And Bisping's like, you think you can wait 15 minutes?
Well, what do you want me to do?
15 minutes.
You can't just stop. You can't just stop. Oh, you need to throw up. We're on a freeway. No problem. We'll just stop right here.
You can't just stop yourself from throwing up.
Well, you got to fucking try. Otherwise, you're going to get a slap. Do you know what I mean? Don't throw up in my car. That's okay. You want to throw up? Fine. Good luck walking home. Okay? You throw up in my car. You piss in my car. You defecate in my car. You leave any kind of bodily fluid in my car, you're walking home. That goes for you.
Degrees.
That goes for Harrington especially. It goes for everybody here. No bodily fluids.
Most likely to shit in your car. If there's anybody on the team.
I'm just saying, if I walk out there one day and there's a feces on the floor, in the back, in the trunk, I don't care where
Harrington.
It is, then there's going to be a real, real big problem. No, Brian threw up a few times. We stopped at Peggy Sue's 50s Diner. The traffic was terrible. Peggy Sue's 50s Diner is like halfway home through the desert. Stopped there. We got
old school diner. It's all old ladies that work there. They've been working there probably for 50 years.
It's all old people that eat there as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was cool.
But it was nice. We had a nice little burger.
We had a little bit of an issue. And Bisping's going to exaggerate this story. And
what was the issue?
Starbucks stop.
Oh, my God. Listen. Most of the time, you're in New York.
Yeah.
Okay? So we do it via Zoom or whatever the program's called. You're a psycho. Listen, granted, maybe. I'm not denying that.
Okay,
I'm
fine.
I'm not denying that.
These are two separate statements.
Listen. I've been doing anger management. I'm way better. I have not lost my shit one time. Lewis, on the flip side, I would say, every time you're on the phone, you're screaming at somebody. You're screaming at somebody every single time.
This morning,
we went to go training, and he wants to go rent a car first. We went down there, apparently had a situation there. We know last week he got thrown out of a 7-Eleven and the cops were called. He's banned for life. On this occasion, he goes into a Starbucks. We were outside waiting for gas.
Tell him, like an hour and 25 minutes.
It was like
40 minutes at the most, maybe a half an hour.
It was an hour, right? Listen, and I'm sitting there and I'm being very patient because I'm like, you know, he's coming out here. I don't want to get off on a bad vibe. I don't want to start the trip with a little argument. So I'm being patient.
I was going in and making a Starbucks run for everybody. It wasn't just me.
Yeah, whilst I was paying for the gasoline to get us home. So it's kind of give and take. I'm putting in the gas. You get the coffees. You get no credit for getting the coffees.
But I was getting them.
I get no credit for the gas. I don't want fucking credit. You get the coffees. I'll get the gas. Let's get home.
He's like, I need a coffee. I'm deaf. Oh, I can't wait. And I was like, I'll run in. I'll wait on the line like a little bitch.
Listen. That was your, no, because you're a little girl, so you need your frappuccinos and your lattes.
It was an almond milk latte.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And I will admit that if I didn't order that almond milk latte, none of this would have happened.
So we're waiting there for ages, and like I get so bored, and I'm like, fuck it, let's go to McDonald's while we're waiting. There's a McDonald's drive-thru over there.
And Brian's just in the car sick.
No, he's in the background, intermittently. I'm like, what is going on? Is this an episode of the fucking Twilight Zone? Why am I doing this? Why am I parked in the middle of a desert with Lewis in there for an hour doing God knows what? Assaulting who we don't know. Brian's throwing up in the back. Harrison's shitting all over the back of the car. I'm like, this is not going well. So let's go to McDonald's. I wait in the line for about 20 minutes. I think, fuck this. I don't want McDonald's anyway. It's terrible food. So I go back to the gas station. And then after a while, you know, this is getting to the 55-minute mark. I'm worried about the guy's health. I'm worried about your well-being. So I give you a call. He answers the phone. This is how I call. I wasn't talking shit to Brian. Wasn't like, fuck this guy. I'm going to fucking leave him. None of that. I'm like, I want to see if everything's okay. So I call him. He answers, listen, motherfucker. Okay. I'm like, whoa. I said, Lewis, I'm calling to see if you would like something to eat because you're so long. I am now starving.
Okay.
So anyway, over to you. So, and he says he's not a psycho.
This whole time, it's very funny because his perspective is just hilarious because it's just chaos for my life. At this time, what's going on for me is just pure chaos. He's just driving around the parking lot. He goes to McDonald's. But it's very funny that he calls me just in the middle of like a freak out again because, all right, here's what happens. I'm in line forever. It's like 20 minutes just waiting on line to get the coffees, right?
It's a busy place.
Very busy.
You chose to wait in that line.
Ordering Bisping coffee.
Could have gone into the store ordered and me- bought, you know, a prepped coffee. Could have got a can of Monster.
Well, that's crazy.
But still. But you—that was a conscious decision.
I was being a
you can't
good
be
friend.
Mad at the line.
Just being a good friend, but I did make a conscious decision. I was like, "Fuck it, whatever. We're gonna be in the car for a while, so let's get some coffees." So I waited in line.
Or devil's advocate,
devil's avocado.
Be in the car, make the journey shorter by not wasting an hour in the gas station, but still continue. Solid point.
Taken.
Good logic.
Granted, fine.
6-hour drive.
You know what?
Let's wait an hour at the gas station.
You
continue.
Know what? You know what? I can't argue with that. That's a good point.
You know okay. what I mean? I'm like, you're like, it's going to be a long drive. I'm like, yeah, you're making it longer.
So
significantly longer.
So, but it's really crazy coming back now. It's like a 6-hour drive. So I'm waiting the line for like 20, 25 minutes, and I finally go order the coffee, order Bisping's coffee, order my latte. The coffee they just give you. So I could have just left. My latte, they have to make. It's a whole process. So I'm like, no, I want an almond milk latte. So I'm waiting for it on the side.
Fuck them.
And
Brian's only dying in the back of the car, but I'm getting my almond milk latte.
I'm not even really paying attention to the time. So I'm on my phone scrolling at this point. It could have been an hour and 25 minutes. I got to be honest with you guys.
It was a long time.
I have no idea how long I was in that place.
Brian, please.
Yeah, I time traveled. I have no idea what happened. Okay?
Brian's an employee. Of
I went in the AM. I came out on the PM. That's a fact. Okay?
Yes, that is a fact.
So I'm waiting for it, and I'm just not paying attention. And at one point, I look up from my phone. I'm like, it's been a fucking long time I'm waiting for this latte. And I'm like, I just cut in front of her. I'm like, hey, did you guys get an almond milk latte? And the guy behind the counter, he's looking for the ticket. He's like, yeah, I don't know. I don't see it. I'm like, guys, I've been waiting forever for this almond milk latte. I was like, come on, what are you doing? So he makes it, and I'm not paying attention again. And he brings it over, and he brings me an iced almond milk latte. So this is my Larry David moment. I'm very much like Larry David from Curb Your Enthusiasm because I can't let things go.
Again, at this point, I've been keeping them waiting for an hour. Okay, it may be iced. We are in a desert, so maybe the ice would be a good idea. And my friends, the guy that's going to host me, the guy that picked me up, the guy that took me to the fights, guy that paid for dinner last night, guy that paid for the gasoline.
I tried for 15 minutes to pay for that fucking dinner.
Keep waiting longer because I want it hot.
I hate him.
You just say, oh, okay. You know, funnily enough, it's 120 degrees out there. An iced almond milk latte sounds great.
It sounds better.
It sounds way better. Way more logical. Does.
But hold on. I was going to take it. So I go, I was like, oh, it was supposed to be hot. Right? But I was like, I'll take it though. You know, I'm in a big hurry, but you know.
Never said that.
And then I did. I swear to God. So then I go, I was like, yeah, but you guys got to get your shit together. And then the guy goes, we have our shit together. And I was like, well, no, you don't, because you didn't have my coffee ready, and you gave me an iced almond milk latte after I told you to do it. I was like, obviously, you don't have your shit together.
So, I mean, first of all, you're insulting them as a business.
I should be.
No,
my friend has been waiting for 3 hours in the car at this point in the desert sun.
And the moment you swear at somebody, even though it's only shit, you've lost. You've lost all moral high ground. Your complaint isn't even valid anymore.
I've had 100 times where they say, sir, don't curse. And that just sets me. I mean, if you tell me not to curse.
Why are you being aggressive? It's like, motherfucker, aggressive? You think this is not aggressive. This is me being me. You want to see aggressive? Holy shit.
This is as nice as I get. So the guy, so he couldn't let it go either. He was like, yeah, we have our shit together. So I was like, you know what? How about this? Make me my hot almond milk latte. Now you got to make me my hot almond milk latte. Just to say fuck you, dude. You want to be an asshole and be a smart ass back to me? You guys fucked up. You made the mistake. I was like, now you can make it for me. Now in the middle of me talking like a dickhead and waving my hands around and ordering him around, I slap Michael Bisping's large coffee all over the counter. Just spills. The entire counter is covered with his coffee now. And at this point, the guy who I'm berating starts laughing in my face.
Good.
Starts laughing directly in my face.
Like the fool that you
are.
Yes,
like a fool. He was like, look
everyone,
at you.
Everyone. I mean, I wasn't there, but I can see the scene. I can see it now. This is going to be on one of those TV shows one day because you're on CCTV. Everyone was like, oh my God, look at him. The fool. Get a grip. Almond milk latte.
It was actually divine intervention.
Calls
God
himself
did
the
that.
Real ass Puerto Rican or whatever the fuck it is. He wants iced almond milk.
So then the guy goes, that's karma. So then I start freaking out. I was like, it's not karma for me because I don't got to clean it up, motherfucker. You got to clean it up. So it's karma for you. And then another guy comes out and starts cleaning it up. And immediately I felt bad because I was like, this guy had nothing to do with it. And I'm screaming. Everyone's like, they're hiding their children at this point. So I was like, give me the fucking towel. I grab the towel from him and I start cleaning it up.
He keeps saying this version of events where he insists that he tried to grab the towel. I guarantee he did not grab the towel.
Not only to grab the towel.
No. This is him like minimizing now his jerkiness. Okay. Like,
I punched the woman behind the counter.
When that CCTV footage hits the airwaves, which it will one day, I guarantee there's no grabbing of a towel, a napkin, anything that resembles.
Not only did I.
Something to soak up liquid touched your
while
hands.
I was cleaning it up, I started calming down and I'm realizing that I'm an idiot. I'm realizing that I'm wrong. Not only did I clean up the coffee, but I apologized to the guy that was making my latte. I was like, dude, I'm sorry. I'm having a bad morning.
Should have apologized to me and Brian.
No,
we wasted $15 of gas just having the engine on because of the air conditioning. So hot, we couldn't turn the engine off. Think about the animals.
Look, I know.
Think about the environment.
I know.
He's wasting gas.
Think about the rattlesnakes.
Fuck the rattlesnakes, little shits. I'll chop their heads off. So anyway, we made it home. We got here eventually.
That was fun, though. It was a really fun time.
Had a nice
time.
Little barbecue last night.
Yeah. Look, Bisping can cook.
Not really.
I'd love to give you
can't,
shit.
You can't class that as cooking. You can't throw some meat in a barbecue. And
I tell you right now, you know how many shitty barbecues I've been to where people don't know how to cook a burger. They don't know when to take the steak off. If you overcook your shit, it's terrible. Chicken can be easily overcooked. Yeah, dude, you did a good job, man. It was great. It was all marinated. We had the jalapeno stuff, bacon wrapped cheese. I mean, come on, doggy.
Bacon wrapped jalapenos.
He just wants me to suck his dick right now. Like he knows
I do
it was
not
good.
Listen. Categorically, I do not want you to suck my dick right now. I'm just throwing that out there, okay? All right, guys, let's just take a quick second to hear from BetterHelp, or more precisely, BetterHelp.com. BetterHelp offers professional counseling done securely online. So if you feel like there's something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals, definitely check out BetterHelp. Whatever you're dealing with, BetterHelp has a wide range of counselors available for you. Plus, BetterHelp is more affordable than traditional online counseling. Financial aid is also available, and it's easy to get started, Lewis. The thing is this, right? It's a very old school mentality. Oh, I don't need a counselor. I don't need a therapist. I don't need any of that. And I was very much of that ilk. You know, I was like, I'm not going to go talk to somebody about my issues or my problems. I'll tell you what, it really helps. Really, really helps. Everyone's going through something right now. And if you feel that you want to talk to somebody, I mean, if you've had that thought, then that means you need to talk to somebody, because I started doing it. I started speaking to a professional and it's really helped. I mean,
it's the reason you haven't killed me this trip.
It is.
Yeah.
Seriously is, because you have been screaming a lot and I've been like, Lewis, like this morning, Lewis needs better help. Lewis, why are you shouting? You know, like, Lewis, you've been in the Starbucks now for 7 hours. You know what I mean? And the whole time I was cool as a cucumber.
Right. Because of BetterHelp, I would give BetterHelp complete credit on that. And I'll tell you the other thing about this as well, because some people are like, oh, it's online. The pandemic, one of the weird things about this pandemic, and I will say it's sort of the silver lining, is that we all had to sort of adapt and do things a little bit differently, right? So everybody was doing their therapy online. Everybody was doing it on Zoom. Everyone was doing it on video chat because you had to. And a lot of people don't even want to go back. Why spend the time in traffic? You're having a conversation with this person face-to-face. You're keeping yourself accountable. These are licensed therapists that are really, really great. And it's so easy to switch if you don't like your therapist. That is one of the other benefits as well, because it's really hard to find a great therapist, and BetterHelp
BetterHelp makes it easier.
Yeah, so you go to BetterHelp.com, and once you sign up, BetterHelp will match you with your own licensed professional therapist who you'll be able to communicate with in under 48 hours. Now, this is not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is professional counseling done securely online, and BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so it is easy and free to switch counselors if needed. Now, as I say, go to BetterHelp.com/believe to join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. Trust me, give this a shot. You will like it, and you will definitely see benefit. New testimonials from users are posted daily. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. Wow, business is booming for BetterHelp. So one more time, BetterHelp.com/believe. That is BETTER. In case you don't know how to spell better, if you don't, you need more than therapy. HELP is help. BetterHelp.com/believe to get 10% off your first order. BetterHelp.com/believe, 10% off. Anyway, on that note, moving on. So, yeah, you're here. We're here for a week. I got to put up with you guys. You've trashed my house already. It was gorgeous yesterday. When you guys walked in, I bet you were like taken aback by how clean it was. The shit, the shoes all over the place. I said to him, I said, Lewis, can you move your shoes? He's like, where would you like me to put them? I'm like, you have a room designated to you.
Who makes people put their shoes in a separate room? Isn't there a shoe area? When you go into most people's houses, there's an area to put shoes.
Yeah, my shoes and Rebecca's shoes and the kids'
shoes. My shoes aren't allowed to intermingle with the Bisping shoes.
Your fucking smelly, dirty, shitty things that I don't want to touch, just put them in your bedroom.
I hate you.
They're not by the front door. They're not by the back door. They're at the bottom of the stairs in prime vision. I've only got one eye, right? And when I look, I see the shitty shoes. I'm like, come on, put them in your bedroom. Come on, man. You've taken over the place. We tried to do the podcast inside. I don't know what they've done to my house. The fucking couches are upside down. Do you know what I mean? Harrington's swinging off the fucking chandeliers. I'm like, what is going on? Let's just go out by the fire pit. We'll sit here. Let's get the show done and get on with our lives.
Harrington has the same personality as the monkeys in Jumanji. Like, he just goes into the kitchen and starts tearing everything apart and fucking swinging from the ceiling.
So, what should we get into? Obviously,
Into what a bully you are?
We'll do that later. Okay. We're talking about ourselves a lot.
Okay.
So we'll talk about some other people. Okay, we'll talk about ourselves again. We'll talk about you. So what you get in your ass kicked. I mean, listen, I'm just saying, we'll get into it later. I could not do what I did to Lewis to Callum. Couldn't do it. That's a fact. I could not drop him with every body shot I touched him with.
No, first you dropped me with one body shot.
Two.
One.
You went down twice.
Once.
No.
I went down twice. The other one was so bad that I don't remember it. I shit you not, dude. I don't remember going down twice.
I'm not going to be an asshole with you, but like body shots, you can do. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to throw knockout blows to the head because that's just a total dick move. A
couple of those you threw pretty hard.
It is what it is. But a body
a couple
shot.
Of them were fucking.
I didn't even, like, but it was Perillo's fault.
Yeah. Okay. Why?
Perillo's like, go to the body. I'm like, yeah, okay. Poof.
Bang.
Yeah, it was nice. Yeah. It was fun. I gotta say, I enjoyed it.
It was fun. Look, it was a lot of fun.
No.
I know you enjoyed it. We're gonna do it again on Wednesday.
Me, it's not the same thing. I enjoyed it on a whole different level. I'm like, this is for all the shit talk. This is for all the bossing. It's all the talking over me. Okay, body shots tomorrow. We're back in the gym. We're gonna film the whole
leg,
thing.
My leg is tore up. My butt. He just kept, dude. And it was funny. He said, he was like, we're gonna go nice and light. And then within a minute, I was like, oh, this isn't light.
No, because you got no control.
Yeah.
I understand.
I'm an amateur.
It comes with experience. You can control your shots and stuff.
Of course.
And so I was like, Diego, did I go hard on you? No, I mean, he's got a bust nose and his face is all beat up. But no, we didn't. We didn't go hard, right? But you were swinging. And I'm like, well, I have to meet that energy. Do you know what I'm saying? Otherwise, if I'm going...
It didn't feel like we had the same energy, Bisping. I got to be honest with you.
We don't have the same energy. If you're going to throw with what you perceive to be...
If you think you match my energy, I got to tell you something. Maybe it's you that needs to figure out how to gauge your energy levels because you did not match my energy.
You're here, you're talking, you're not in hospital, trust me.
It could have been worse.
It could have been a lot worse, buddy.
No, it was fucking fun, and I really appreciate it. Perillo's the man. Luke was super cool. Rockhold was there.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Luke Rockhold was down there. Mackenzie Dern, Cheeto. It was a great time down there. Big shout out to Pat Tenori, of course. He owns Ruka.
Shout out to Pat.
He's amazing.
Guys were awesome, dude. They opened up the gym to us. They let us fuck around. We're obviously, you know, I mean, literally, it's just everybody there was an absolute killer. I was like, is anybody here not good at this? There's no amateurs that are in that place that I saw.
Had a little, Diego had a spar with Rockhold, and then I did a little groundwork with Rockhold. Just quickly, a couple of minutes of jiu-jitsu. That was fun. That was good. But all right, let's get into this. Let's start with this Logan Paul thing.
Yeah.
Logan Paul, Floyd Mayweather. I mean, oh, God. I saw a post today from Ricky Hatton. Ricky Hatton, if you must remember, and again, I apologize for my voice. It's very hoarse. I don't know what it is. I've been taking it easy all weekend. Nothing to do with Vegas.
Right.
But where's my phone? There was a post from Ricky Hatton. Where's my phone? Here it is. Let me see what he said. And this is, he puts it into very, very good perspective. Of course, you know, there's a lot of boxing purists and all the rest of it that didn't like what they saw, you know, and they thought that the sport was being watered down.
I don't think anybody liked what they saw. I don't think the people that don't know boxing, MMA fighters, boxers, fucking bankers, librarians, nobody really enjoyed that fight.
No, but it was worse than could ever be expected. It was. It was. Floyd Mayweather didn't do anything. He didn't try. He just, you know, he styled him a few times. He showed that he was the better boxer. He showed that he had still his speed and reflexes and things like that. But he didn't actually say, okay, after round three, when Logan Paul's clearly getting tired, let's turn up the pressure. Let's give the people what they've all fucking paid to see. The YouTuber getting knocked out or whatever. Let's just put a show on. It's supposed to be a fight. Yes, it's a demonstration bout, but it's still supposed to be a fight. And that's kind of the kind of interesting thing when you see that the venom that people have in the fight game or the intention behind the blows that they throw. Mayweather never stepped on the gas at all. And to be quite frank, for the guy that calls him TBE, it's all over everything, the best ever, right? 50-0, should be fucking ashamed of yourself. Floyd Mayweather, you should be ashamed of yourself. Simple as that.
I agree. Like, it's a moral loss. I know that Mayweather would have won on points if they had gone to the judges. He won the boxing exhibition. But can I play devil's advocate for real for a minute?
Devil's avocado.
Because I didn't like the fight either, and I agree with what you're saying. But Floyd, in reality, came into an exhibition of his skills.
No, 100%.
We expected a fight. He said this is an exhibition. He never claimed this was going to be a fight. He never claimed he was going to come and knock this guy out. He never talked shit like that. He said, I'm going to make a lot of money to go and have an exhibition with this YouTuber. And that's what he put on a little bit of a thing.
Sure.
You know, there was a few moments where Floyd looked good. The seventh round, he actually looked like he was throwing some heat in the seventh round. He turned it up a little bit. But I got to say, Logan Paul, you got to give him a little bit of credit.
Logan Paul should be fucking embarrassed as well. Three rounds. He could hardly stand up. He was leaning on the ropes. He was blowing out of his ass. He's 26 years old. He looks in great physical condition. Maybe he might want to do some running because he was out of shape. But anyway, listen, let me just give you this, what Ricky Hatton said. And I thought this was great because he kind of summed it up perfectly. He said, what the fuck was this all about? What happened to the days where fighters would put their lives on the line to try and be the best and at least fight the best? Now we have fighters calling out YouTubers, as that's where the most money is these days due to the social media world that we live in. I can live with an exhibition match like Mike Tyson and Roy Jones Jr. between two legends of our sport, but the greatest fighter of all time who has only recently retired against somebody who's only there because of how many followers he has and not because of who he's previously beat? Man, money is important. That's why we went from the amateurs and turned pro. But these days, money seems more important than the legacy. Floyd and Logan, hey, every man to their own. Good luck to both. But my personal opinion, that was shit for boxing. And you can't argue with anything he says there because, you know, from an entertainment perspective, we all sat here, we watched it, you know, and it wasn't the best whatever. But still, you know, we watched it for the entertainment and I guess
And we were excited.
It did. We were.
Everybody was around the TV. Even Rebecca said, right when it was about to start, she was like, I'm kind of nervous. And I was like, yeah, me too. This is kind of, like, I was on the edge of my seat being like, oh, this is going to be fun. And then it didn't deliver. Floyd didn't deliver. That's the reality, right? Logan did what he could do. The reason I said props to Logan
tried.
Yeah, dude.
Look, he tried in the first round or second round when he went through those long combinations. They were sloppy, whatever. But the reality is, he wasn't that bad. Logan wasn't that bad or that sloppy. Just compared to how crisp and how clinical and technical Floyd Mayweather is, he's always going to look bad. Bloody hell, you put me in there, I'd probably look bad. Do you know what I'm saying? Because Floyd Mayweather is, you know, he's just so good. So when Logan threw those combinations, it looked a little sloppy because in comparison, when Floyd let his hands go, it just looked so clinical, so perfect.
Yeah. I mean, the difference in experience is so vast, it's crazy. But yeah, I mean, look, Logan, he lasted the eight rounds. You heard between the seventh and the eighth round, Logan's corner said to him, they were like, one more round and you did it. One more round and you did it. They were going into it just to last. That was a victory for them. So when Logan's talking about how he beat Mayweather, it's stupid, right? Jake Paul saying
Jake Paul's coming across like a total douchebag right now. All that screen. You see the videos on Instagram and stuff today? He ended your career or got your career and all this. It's like, shut up. You can clearly see Floyd went in there. It was a payday. He wasn't bothered. He wasn't even really trying. But he should be embarrassed, I think.
Oh.
Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah.
Should be a little bit embarrassed this morning. Was it worth it? Was it worth it to him? I don't know. Let's say he got $10 million. That's what they're saying. $10 million plus 50% of the pay-per-view is what he got. On the flip side, I heard Logan got $250K and 10% of the pay-per-view. Who knows if that's accurate, but let's just assume that that is. Don't get me wrong. $10 million is a lot of money. Maybe that's 15 with the pay-per-view. Tremendous amount of money. But he's already a billionaire, apparently.
Probably even more.
Was that worth it?
They probably sold at least a half a million pay-per-views.
To tarnish his legacy.
But
let's not get into the math and the work.
It's going to be substantially more than $5 million. I think he probably ended up making $25 million off that fight.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. 15, 20, 25. He's already got plenty of money. And money's very important, of course, you know, and it's not an infinite resource. It can run out, you know, so you always want to get as much as you can. But I don't know, right? 15-0, with the legacy that he had, I think that was damaging to his legacy. I really do. I don't think for him that was worth the money that he earned. You know, because he doesn't need that. He's going to lose half that money in tax straight away.
Yeah.
And he's going to fucking blow it. He's going to fly around in his private jets, you know, and that doesn't go very far when you're spending money like that. You know, he's buying multi-million dollar watches. For his legacy, he should have left well alone.
I don't know that it's going to affect his legacy. Had he lost, definitely.
It has already affected his legacy. Maybe not in your mind, but trust me, every boxer, every boxing purist, every person within the business watched that last night and does not have the same opinion of Floyd Mayweather this morning. And he's also loses credibility from being the guy that was consistently facing the best boxers on the planet. Canelo Alvarez, Oscar De La Hoya, Ricky Hatton. You know, the list goes on. He fought the best of the best of the best. And he ends by beating McGregor, who had had one fight. And now he boxes in an exhibition bout against a YouTuber that went the distance with him and was actually pouring on the pressure at the end of the fight. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's a moral victory for Logan Paul, moral loss for Mayweather. I'm just saying, when the smoke clears at the end of the day, Mayweather's still going to go down as one of the greatest boxers of all time.
Yeah,
that,
sure.
What he's done already almost can't be taken away unless he starts losing boxing matches, which, you know, that it's stupid. Yes, it's very, very dumb. But I don't know. I'm not being as harsh to Mayweather. I just think it's embarrassing.
He should be
embarrassed that he didn't knock this fucking guy out.
But listen, you know what I mean? You got a few rungs of the ladder to climb. But if you were a professional fighter and you dedicate your entire life to this sport and you go through the pains and the sacrifices and what it truly fucking means to be a fighter and to come from the background that he comes from, to turn his life around with the skill of the sweet science that he's done and displayed it like nobody else. And then he ends his career on this shit show. I don't know. It's a little embarrassing. I mean, what was his final fight before McGregor? I forget what it was, but still, that would have been great. You know what I mean? Who was that? Harrington, Berta. Yeah. And you know, those type of fights, real legit fights. I mean, great. I'm all for people making money, but I won't be buying another one. I want my $50 back. Okay. In fact, you get 50% of the pay-per-view. Floyd Mayweather, send me $25 fucking dollars. Okay, because you owe it to me. In fact, you owe a lot of people $25. And you add that up, it's a lot of cash.
Hey, you know what, Bisping? I'm going to give you $25 for that pay-per-view.
I don't want
you it. You deserve it. You deserve it back.
I want the gas money. I want the $15 with the gas money that I wasted.
I want half back.
I want my latte. Anyway, enough.
Yeah, it was fine. What do you think is going to happen next? I mean, Logan, a little bit cringy afterwards. Then he reeled it in and sort of like in the post-fight interview. At first, he was really cringy. And then he sort of reeled it in a little bit and said some nice stuff about Floyd, which was great. But I think what's going to end up happening here, if I had to guess, we are going to see Floyd again. And I think
Jake Paul.
It's going to be, if Jake gets past Tyron Woodley, we're going to see Mayweather versus Jake Paul in the future. Obviously, the writing's on the wall. If
Quite
Floyd's
possibly.
Willing to do these types of fights, why wouldn't he be willing to do it against Jake?
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, and there's certainly a backstory there and things like that. So, but yeah, honestly, I can't do it. I keep trying to change the subject.
Yeah.
I'm not pontificating what's next for the Logan Paul's decorated boxing career. I can't do it. I can't. I'm trying to move on and you keep saying, what do we think next? Couldn't give a fuck what's next. Okay?
Okay?
Just send me my $25. Okay, you little slaphead.
Hey, Mike, let's take a quick moment and thank one of our incredible sponsors, which is Blue Chew. You guys know what's up. Blue Chew's been on the show for so long now. It is a performance enhancement for the bedroom, okay? Look, we look down on steroids in combat sports and all sports for that. But in the bedroom, have fun. Do whatever you got to do. Get whatever edge you have. And Blue Chew genuinely works. If you don't know, it's the same active ingredient as Viagra and Cialis. These these help you have fuller, stronger, longer lasting erections. And they make such a difference for so many people. Everybody tries Blue Chew, loves it. You take the Blue Chew chewable about 20, 30 minutes before you're going to be intimate with your partner. And then the entire night, you're good to go. It really, truly works. Go read the reviews. Go see what people are saying about it. Super, super easy. But the process is what's unique, Bisping.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's so unique. No, it really is. It's just easy. You go to bluechew.com and then within minutes, you're going to be dealing with one of their online affiliated physicians. And of course, you know, they're going to send you the prescription. It's going to turn up at your door. There's no in-person visit. There's no awkwardness. Listen, nobody wants to have that conversation. Hey, dog, how you doing? I want to give my wife a better time in bed. Yeah. Or maybe you are suffering with a little erectile dysfunction. Nobody really wants to say that. Some people don't care. I don't think I'd care either, but some people might get a little self-conscious about that. This removes all of that. Shows up at your door, indiscreet packaging. Before you know it, you are off to the races. You're having a great time. You're blowing minds. And you're thanking us because you're like, wow, without Mike and Lewis, I wouldn't have known about Blue Chew at all. All you got to do is go to bluechew.com for more details and important safety information. But here's the deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew for free when you use our promo code BELIEVE at checkout. All you got to do, pay $5 shipping. That's bluechew.com, promo code BELIEVE, to receive your first month for free. And you pay $5 shipping. Not a bad deal. Okay, where were we? Okay, moving on.
Moving on.
What do you want to talk about?
You want to end with the... No, let's talk Apex.
Let's talk the Apex.
Yeah, let's talk Apex. That
what
was fun.
What did you think, by the way? First time there?
Cool. Very cool. Very unique experience. You know, being able to hear everything the way... I mean, I've never been to, you know, an empty arena like that. It's almost like watching people, like, spar in the gym. Like, that's the same type of, like... But there was a little bit of energy there. There were some celebrities there.
Yeah.
Overall, I mean, I thought it was a fun experience. I thought the fights were really good. I know it wasn't, like, a crazy night of fights.
Hold on. Let me just interject. Brian, just be honest. On a scale of 1 to total campiness, how calm do I look with my legs crossed like this? I mean, is it very camp or is it okay? Or am I going to get ridiculed majorly? I'm going to uncross. Sorry.
Uncross.
Continue.
No, now you got that bulge. Now you're showing everyone your dick.
So listen, guys. Great legs.
The Sharon
Continue.
Stone. I like it.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was a really fun night of fights. Honestly, the one fight, who am I thinking of? Like fight of the year, early fight of the year candidate. Definitely the third round, you know, round of the year candidate.
Santiago Ponzinibbio, Miguel Baeza.
Yes,
I mean,
dude.
What an absolutely phenomenal fight. And Santiago Ponzinibbio, I was so impressed with him because he was on a tear. You know, like for example, he knocked out Sean Strickland a few years ago with a beautiful spinning wheel kick. Sean Strickland's doing really, really big things right now. Only reason I'm bringing that up is because it shows how good Santiago was. Then he had 2 years away, came back, fought Li Jingliang, and it was a bad fight for him. But he had 2 years away, and I think he had some surgeries. I don't know the specifics of the surgeries, but he had some time away. And when he came back, he didn't look like the same fighter.
Yeah.
And I was concerned for him because sometimes you see that. You take 2 years away, you have some surgeries, things change. Maybe mentally. He said he was taking a lot of medication. That can change things as well. So he came back into this fight. And Miguel Baeza, I think he was 10-0, undefeated, hot prospect. 3-0 in the UFC. Just knocked out Matt Brown, submitted Takeshi Sato. I mean, the guy is good.
Yeah.
And the opening round was a tough round for Santiago. And I thought, because I like Santiago. He does the Spanish broadcast. I'll let you get him one sec. He does the Spanish broadcast, so I see him there. You know, maybe I bump into him in the hotel, in the elevator. We, you know, shoot the shit for a minute. Hey, what's up, buddy? How you doing? Yada, yada, yada. I don't have favorites, but, you know, when you get to know someone
right
a bit, yeah, and you see them losing, you think, oh, is this the beginning of the end of the career?
Right.
You know, has he still got it? But, of course, he turned it all around and looked amazing.
Yeah, I mean, look, you got to give him credit because he looked... not only did he look like he was getting battered, that those calf kicks were so brutal in the first round, but not only that, he looked like he was mentally like, fuck, I'm going to lose this fight. He just looked like, fuck, dude, this is not going to be good. And then right at the end of that first round, he really laid it on and was like, oh, shit, he might still be in. And he came back with such an amazing comeback. I was so impressed with him. And I think that's even more impressive. I think he even said that in the post-fight press conference, like to have to deal with adversity and come back from it. I think he won an easy knockout, but just for the story of him coming back and beating an undefeated young prospect, taking a fight that maybe he shouldn't have taken. A guy was ranked lower than him. He was ranked number 6 at one point.
As a fighter, yeah, of course, getting the knockout is great, you know, and that's awesome. But also, when you have a performance like he did there, anyway, if I look at my own career, I would compare that to, say, like when I fought Anderson Silva. When you got to fight through adversity like that, you're way happier at the end of it.
Because
it shows the world who you are as a fighter and the levels that you're willing to go to, how far you're willing to dig deep and to take that punishment and fight through that adversity and still go forward and get the goddamn victory when it's all said and done. It was so impressive.
It reminds me of me earlier today at Ruka when I took that body shot and then I got up, I just kept coming.
Is that when... the amount of times that you took your gloves off to buy time was alarming, okay? Is this in between one of those times? I'm like, why are the gloves off again? We're sparring. The gloves keep coming off. I'm not making this up.
He threw a flying knee at my head, ladies and gentlemen. You'll see it. You'll see it in Fight Journal.
I did not throw a flying knee.
He threw something. I couldn't even. All I know is you were flying through the air and your leg was coming at me.
No knees. One eye. I'm doing my best over here, Lewis.
I tried. Look. By the way, I will say credit to Baez.
Baeza.
I mean,
Caramel Thunder.
He also looked great. Also,
fantastic.
Big future for him, obviously. He, dude, very, very impressive fighter. I think the experience was probably the biggest difference there, right?
Yeah, Ponzinibbio
has a lot more experience in the UFC, in big fights, and I think that really carried him through. But, well, I mean, honestly, I can't think of a more exciting fight so far this year. I was just on my feet.
Yeah, no, it was fantastic. I mean, the calf kicks again, Baeza started with those calf kicks and was punishing Santiago, and I thought, here we go. He's not gonna see the end of this fight. But then Santiago started landing his own and landed a lot of heavy shots. It was just a great fight. And I got to say, Miguel Baeza, keep your chin up. You're probably not ever going to see this, but he's a great fighter. A ton of potential. He's a big, big prospect. He'll learn from that. He'll get better. I think he's 10-1 now in a potential fight of the year candidate.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a bit strong. I piggyback to what you said there. I'm sorry. It's not a potential fight of the year. It was the best fight. It was the fight of the night.
At the end of
it was the fight of the night, 50K.
Unquestionably
fight of the night. Okay. Fight of the year. I don't know. We're only in June. First week.
I bet you it will be in when if people are going over fight of the year at the end of the year, it'll be in talks.
I bet it's not. You get a lot of great fights.
Nobody's going to mention that fight ever again.
No. It's just like, who?
Baeza.
Daniel
Malibu. He got cut.
Santiago Ponzinibbio, what a wild man. When I went in to interview him as well, he was fired up. Obviously, he just got a big win. He's hard to understand. He has a thick accent, man. He has a very, very strong Argentinian accent. But that was sensational. So, co-main event, we had Walt Harris taking on Marcin Tybura. Oh, man. I feel so bad for Walt Harris.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, we know what happened to his daughter, you know, sadly. Late 2019, she was abducted and murdered. Just terrible. Every parent's worst nightmare. It's just awful. And since then, he came back and he's lost two fights. He lost to Overeem and he lost to, who was the last one? Oh, Alexander Volkov. But when we talked to him last week, he said, I came back too soon. Looking back at it now, I didn't take the time to grieve. I buried myself in mixed martial arts and training to just try and deal with it. And I totally get that. Totally get it, he said. But since then, I took some time away. I've been speaking to a grief counselor and talking about my feelings and all the rest of it to try and deal with those things. And I thought we were going to see a great Walt Harris. And we did. We did see a great Walt Harris. But the problem was it was kind of went like most of his fights. Because he's so good and he's such a nice guy and he's got such great warm energy. Mm. And as I say, for a guy that's been through the tragedy that he's been through, you would think that maybe he'd be a little subdued, a little quiet, a little, you know, maybe not the most chatty person. His energy, we do Zoom calls on the fighter meetings, it jumps through the screen straight. Yo, what's up, champ? How are we doing? Da, 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 da. Who knows? Maybe that's a mask. You know what I mean? And he went out there and it looked like he was going to destroy Tybura.
He was killing him.
Killing him.
Yeah.
Hands were fast. He had him rocked, all the rest of it.
Yeah, we thought it was over. When he landed, we really thought it was over. Obviously Tybura very tricky. And really tough as shit, dude. Good for Tybura.
What happened? I know we got a takedown. Tybura got a takedown. And then was it ground and pound?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's right. Turtle position. Yeah. Yeah.
I will say for Walt, I remember just taking a moment when he was leaving the cage. He did have a big smile on his face, which honestly could, because.
Yeah. Listen, he's a big boy.
Yeah.
He's been through every parent's worst nightmare.
Yeah.
You go out there, you fight in the UFC, you get your ass kicked. He's a big man, literally. You know, he's a big boy, quite literally, but still figuratively and physically. Literally, physically, metaphorically, I'm losing the plot. Our pets' heads are falling off. Let's get back on track. No, no, he's a big boy. He really is. And he can deal with it. And it's like, you know, ah, shit. And you smile. You do, because it's not the end of the world. Now, when you go home afterwards, because I was always like that when I lost my belt to GSP. You still smile. You still make a joke. You still say some dumb self-deprecating comments. It's only when you go home and you sit down and it's maybe next Tuesday or sometime this week and he'll be sitting in his couch and he'll be like, fuck,
yeah.
I blew it again. You know what I mean? That's when it really kind of sets in. Not necessarily on the night.
Right. Yeah. Three in a row is not great. But I will say, with the circumstances surrounding him, I mean, you would assume that he's probably safe for now in the UFC. You know, also he's a heavyweight. He's personable. People like him. They know who he is. Obviously, I think the UFC will probably give him another shot. And
it's not just that. It's like, yeah, okay, he's lost three in a row, but it's the way that he's losing fights.
Right.
Super excitement. You know, he's bringing excitement every time. And it's literally kill or be killed, his attitude. He's not dancing around the outskirts of the octagon and doing everything he can to avoid getting into a fight. He's going forward and trying to kill his opponents, and he comes very close to killing Overeem. Not quite the same thing with Volkov, but against Tybura, again, it was like, whoa, he looks amazing. He's done.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know.
It's an interesting point because, and I'm not going to shift to this fight because I don't think we even need to discuss this fight too much, but it's so, but we did discuss it that night. The gentleman who just essentially clinched, grabbed the other guy's back the whole time and just, I didn't even fight
Roman Dolidze.
Yeah. Yeah. And
Moreno Staropoli, that fight there.
Yeah.
It wasn't a good fight.
Even with him winning with that style, like what you're doing is, number one, it's not, like none of the fans like it. Nobody digs it. It's not, you know, appealing aesthetically.
Well, let's talk about it a little bit.
Sure.
Go on, finish your point.
But what you're doing is like you are killing exciting fighters, right? So there's an exciting fighter who's ready to throw and bang and fight and come in and put on a show for the fans because it is entertainment. There's a crowd there. There's millions of people watching around the world. They're trying to be entertained, and one guy's trying to fight and the other guy is just trying to stall. And I think that style, I mean, that is, you better fucking win every fight, because the second you lose, they're gonna get rid of you. Nobody wants to watch that style.
Yeah, the reason I wanted to bring it up actually is because you can't see it, but you're just seeing a little bit of the fluffy stuff floating about. It's not very windy today, but I'm telling you, if you see the last episode, I'm gonna chop that fucking tree down. Anyway, no. So me and Dominic Cruz had kind of had a little debate. It was good natured, you know, but we had a disagreement of opinion because I said the referee should have stepped in and broken that up. There was 3 or 4 minutes per round where Dolidze had the body lock standing and was doing nothing with it, right? And I was like, the referee needs to step in. And Cruz felt otherwise. He said, no. It's up to him to escape the position, right? I'm like, well, nothing is happening. And the reason nothing was happening was because Staropoli couldn't break the grip. What you have to do is separate the hands, use your hips, do what it, there's many ways of doing it, but you gotta try and separate the hands to escape. Or Dolidze needs to go to the next move. He needs to complete a takedown. He needs to throw a strike. He needs to drop down to a single leg, do a body lock takedown, whatever it is. He needs to progress. You can't just hold him from behind where you can't be hit for an elongated period of time, because it is killing the fight. It's killing the action. And it's robbing everybody of their expectation, what they want to see. They want to see a good fight. The reason I say the referee should have stepped in is because this was halfway to a takedown, if you will. They were in the clinch position and he couldn't finalize the takedown. When you're there for several minutes, they should have broke it up, because even when you get a takedown, we see it all the time. There's no problem with this. If somebody gets taken down in a fight and they're in the guard and you're not progressing and you're not mounting a proper offense, the referee will say, all right, not enough action, back on your feet. And that's an incredibly dominant position. So if they can break it up when you're on the feet, why the fuck can't they break it up when they're essentially in no man's land with nothing happening?
That's an incredible point, actually. It really is.
Thank you.
So if somebody's stalling and not doing anything and they're just holding them there, they stand them right up. And nobody really complains about that. And that's part of the rules. So you're right. But I understand Dominic Cruz's point.
And by the way, it's not, that's not a knock on Dolidze, Right. Because you got to fight to the best of your ability.
Right.
And you got to try and win the fight with your style. And he's doing the best he can with the tools that he has. Do you know what I mean? So my frustration is it's not towards Dolidze. And I like Keith Peterson. He's a great guy. I always say hi to him, whatever, you know. So again, you know, and maybe he would have a great argument to say why
probably
he didn't, you know, and I'd like to hear that. But my frustration came to the ref. It's like, come on, ref, break it up.
Make him
there
fight.
Was 3 or 4 minutes per round where they were engaged in this body lock. And it just killed it for everybody.
And you hear sometimes referees will be like, come on, guys, fight. Let's go. Yeah. And there was none of that. There wasn't much urgency to sort of create that. It kind of reminds me
Should we do it?
What?
Give Keith Peterson the shame belt.
Shame belt, Keith Peterson.
Come on,
shame.
Keith. Come on, Keith. What the hell?
You got one job. No, Keith is great, obviously.
He's awesome.
But, you know, it reminds me, you know, we think back to the Ultimate Fighter 1 finale with Stephen Bonner and Forrest Griffin. And this is a famous story in the UFC.
Terrible fight, by the way.
Right. But it's a famous story in the UFC where Dana White's
great
like...
Great fight, terrible technique.
Where Dana White said... Like the beginning of the fight, there was a certain amount of people watching it.
Yeah.
And then by the time the end of the fight had happened, there was so many more people watching because people would tune in. They were calling their friends. It was this crazy rock'em sock'em fight. And you're right, it wasn't crazy, you know, technical by today's standards, but it was so exciting that if people were flipping the channels, they watched. Now, on the flip side, if they're watching the Dolidze fight, they're flipping the channels. You're like, what the fuck is this? If you've never watched a sport or you're just casually introduced to the sport and you turn that on, I'd be like, all right, dude, I'm not watching this again. This sucks.
I don't want to watch this ever in my life because you don't. There was zero action, you know? So yeah, as I say, he was doing what he could. He was doing the best with his tools, and God bless him. Well done on the victory. Very, very frustrating for Staropoli. Again, you know.
But Staropoli also should learn. I'm sure he's going to be working wrestling now.
No, for sure. It's also partly up to him as well to be able to escape those positions.
Which is essentially Dominic's point, but, you know, it's.
Yeah, it was Dominic's point.
It is a fair
point. I understand it, but, as a fan, as a spectator, as a commentator, you want to try commentating that fight.
Trying to make it sound exciting.
Try and commentate that fight. There's nothing happening. They're hugging each other. Me and Dominic Cruz are getting into arguments. Do you know what I mean? That's all we could do. I'm like, no, Dominic, you're wrong. He's like, no, Bisping, you're wrong. I'm like, okay, well, let's talk about that because there's fuck all to talk about over there.
That's great. So was there anything else notable? Oh, first fight of the
main
night.
Main event.
Do you want? All right, sure, we'll go to the main event.
We haven't spoken about it.
I know. Well, I was going to say before we go to the main.
It's a very haphazard way we're going through these fights.
I know, just all over the place.
What did we start with?
Let's end with the first fight of the night. We'll go to the main event now.
Well, why the first fight of the night?
I thought it was a good fight. The girls that opened up.
You don't even know their names.
Yeah, I do.
Go on.
The queen of violence.
That's not her name. That's not on her birth
something
certificate.
Something schmickus. And the other one. I know. De La Rosa.
Part of her name.
The most important part.
It's three syllables. It's three. Del La Rosa. Del La Rosa. Four syllables. Pardon me. I'm getting pulled on this for my math a lot recently as well in the comments, so fuck you. Montana De La Rosa versus Ariane Lipski. No, main event. We've got to talk about this. Augusto Sakai, Jairzinho Rosenstroik. Yeah. Pretty quick finish. Again, Biggie Boy. Crazy power. I mean, there's not a lot to say. You know what I mean? He just blitzed him. Yep. He battered him. He did what he did. You know, Sakai, that was a good win, by the way. Sakai's a beast. He's a big, big man. He's very good. He's also got big power. He's very nimble for such a big guy. He moves like a middleweight almost. Great gas tank. Yeah, just came up short tonight against... I mean, when you speak to... When you get up close to Rosenstroik, right? When you see him on TV, he doesn't seem that big. You know what I mean? Yeah. But when I was in the octagon with him and I was commentating him, he's just so thick. You know, he's a thick guy.
Bisping, tell me more.
He's a thick guy.
He's a thick man.
Yeah.
Everyone is bigger. I'm realizing. Everybody is fucking huge. Luke Rockhold is a giant. First of all, I had no idea. He's the size of a house. Anthony Smith.
Gigantic.
Also, shout out to Anthony Smith. I met him and I introduced myself and he's like, oh, wow. You're a lot bigger than I thought you'd be. I was like, goddamn right, Anthony Smith.
Oh my God. We're never going to hear the end of this. All over Twitter.
I tweeted it.
Told me the story 5 times on the way home. Hey, Dad, let's say Anthony Smith said, I look bigger in real person. Yeah, people do look bigger in real life.
They do. I mean, and honestly, Rozenstruik is one of the ones that you're right, 100%. Yeah. He actually, you know why? Because we're looking at Ngannou, we're looking at Lewis, and he is the smaller of those guys, right? Yeah, and I think we compare them because there's giant, big, fucking powerhouse black strikers that knock motherfuckers out. Like, yeah, it's easy to compare all of them, but he's not as...
Skin tone has nothing to do with it.
Yeah, I mean, there's the three big, giant black guys that knock everybody out.
I'm joking.
I'm pulling a Brendan Schaub right now.
Yeah, I know. I don't know what you're referring to.
You remember when he got in trouble?
I don't want to talk about it. I don't know what you're saying. I don't know literally what you're referring to, but let's just skim past it.
Okay, I'll tell you later.
The old skimmy skim skim. What's this?
What is this?
Where's my microphone cover? Couldn't have my microphone cover on because Lewis said we need two. So, what should we talk about? So, well done. Rozenstruik, well done everybody that won on Saturday night. No, great night of fights as usual. Harrington, what are we doing then? Let's have a look at some of these notes. We've been freestyling for a bit without looking at anything.
You can plug in a mic over there as well on that third channel and chime in if you
want.
That's
a good idea, actually, because, you know, believe it or not, people like to hear from Harrington.
We like Harrington. Everyone likes Harrington. We actually complimented you. You weren't even here, Harrington, because we would never say it to your face, and I'm going to break that rule right now. But me and Bisping had a very nice conversation about how you're not actually
an
idiot.
It wasn't that nice.
No, it was
okay. it just wasn't insulting. That's as good as it got. We just didn't insult you.
No, we said you're not as bad as it seems.
Like, yeah, because I was like, you know what? Yeah, he seems like a real retard, but he's okay.
But he's not bad. He can hold a conversation.
No, you can't hold a conversation. By the way, I shouldn't say retard. So, you know, I what's the word? I redact. That
you redact.
Statement. I redact.
You wouldn't mind if we'll edit that one.
Whatever.
I guess we should probably edit
I don't one. Care. It's fine. I said it.
He's a retard. We're not supposed to call him what he is.
If the shoe fits, okay? It's as simple as that. And looking up the shoe. Look, show him the shoe. Spin it around.
If the shoe fits, Harrington will probably eat it.
Yeah, look at that. There is Harrington's shoe because he's got a little sprain, bless him. Hold on. Let's just talk about this a second. Harrington, you're walking around with that thing on. You're milking it. You're looking for sympathy. You're going, oh, my God, it's so bad. You're hobbling along around everywhere. Brian, he says that on Wednesday he's going to fight you at Ruka. Even with that. So which is it, Harrington? Are you in some kind of distress? Do you have pain? But you're just willing to throw that to the wayside to batter Brian.
He just did this, everyone. He went.
Oh, God. Please. Never mind.
Okay.
All right. Let's look at some of these notes real quick. Lewis, say something while I do this.
I'll do plugs. Fuck it. Hey.
Do it.
Guys, you know me. If I got to waste some time, I'll do some plugs. You guys love the show. Go to our iTunes. Go to where else are we available? Everywhere, right? Spotify, Stitcher, Google
what
Play.
What is Stitcher?
It's an app for podcasting things.
Does anybody use it?
Yeah, sure they do.
Okay.
I'm sure they do.
We're on it. Stitcher.
Guys, go there. Subscribe. Leave us a rating if you can. We love the positive reviews. It's always great. Subscribe directly to our YouTube channel as well. Hit the notification button. You will get a notification every time we go live. Also, by the way, if you hit the notification button, the way the YouTube algorithm works is you also get recommended other like-minded stuff. So it benefits you just to take advantage of that feature.
Oh, yeah. Now, we're doing you a favor. If you subscribe to our YouTube channel, it's going to benefit
you. It's only helping you.
Tremendously.
It doesn't help us at all. We don't even care.
No, we don't care. In fact, unsubscribe.
No,
we're just... Unsubscribe.
No.
I want negative subscribers, okay? -5,000.
So also, if you guys love the show, you can get the entire on-demand library all at gasdigitalnetwork.com. The entire show in its history. Me and Bisping were talking the other day. We want to go back and listen to the first episode ever.
I don't think I do. Listen, I might have been still a little bit over the limit behind the wheel. I don't drink and drive, but we had a heavy night and, you know, I didn't get enough sleep. And obviously,
that was the first episode?
The coffee took 17 hours to get hold of. So I don't know about the first episode. I don't think I want to hear it. But anyway, also, plugs, bymmerch.com. If you like this t-shirt, they don't sell that one, so ignore that one. But we got all kinds of merchandise on there. bymmerch.com is the website. Thank you very much.
Also, this October, an evening with Michael Bisping, Tales from the Octagon.
Yes.
Available at myticket.co.uk.
Correct. Well done.
Five cities, five nights, almost sold out. By the way, if you guys are trying to come to the show in Ireland, Get your tickets. It's like there's like a handful of tickets left. That's it.
It's 97% sold
out. Yeah, and everything else is almost there. So go get those tickets now. Don't wait.
It's always a weird one. If you say that one's 97% sold out, we're saying that one because we're proud of it. The other one's 4%. No, they're all selling very, very well. Of course, we had it Birmingham, but yeah, I'm blown away by the ticket sales. So thank you, seriously, from the bottom of my heart to everybody that bought a ticket. It's going to be a lot of fun. So yeah, myticket.co.uk. Come and see us. Okay.
Last but not least, I am on tour as well this entire summer and fall. If you guys want to see me in your hometown, lewisofskanks.com. I'm going to be in San Diego and I'm going to be in South Jersey in July. Got a lot of stuff coming up. So yeah, let's move on. What do we got?
I mean, there's a few good things here. I see a lot of people talking about Ariel Helwani today.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's a big news story, technically.
Hold the microphone near to your face.
No, you told me not to.
Brian? Harrington?
I got it.
Okay, Mr. Podcaster Extraordinaire. Helwani. He's doing good. He's doing great things. He's loved and adored by a lot of mixed martial art fans all over the world. And he started working for ESPN, 2019? And that was always a childhood dream of his. I saw a statement today, you know, when he was a kid, he used to watch Sports Center and all the rest of it and dream of doing that one day. Of course, he ended up doing that, and he was very much the face, I think, of the mixed martial arts scene on ESPN.
Which, it's a rough face. If that's going to be a face.
Oh, come on.
I'm not hating on. I love Ariel Helwani. I think he's very talented. I'm not saying he's just, I wouldn't call him handsome.
I'm not saying he's handsome. I'm just saying he's good at his job.
Yeah.
And he's a nice guy. And he gives good content, but still he's leaving ESPN. Seems to be making a lot of news, which is, you know, good for him. Everyone's speculating. A lot of people say, oh, what do you think happened? I don't think anything happened. I think he probably got a really good offer, something that's very exciting, maybe something new, maybe a new platform, maybe a new business that he's going to be a partner in. Who knows? I have no idea, but I do because I don't know, but I've worked for ESPN, and I still do, and I know he has a great relationship with everybody there, and they're all very, very close friends and things like that. And he gave a nice statement, so he's leaving there, and he's going to be doing something fun. So whatever you do, Ariel, all the best, buddy. Good luck.
Congratulations. You know, look, contract might have been up. Just like, look, I have other lucrative opportunities, and once you get to a certain level, your time is worth a certain amount of time. And it's actually cool to be able to pick and choose the things you want to do. You know,
no,
like,
it is.
That's like true success, in my opinion. When you wake up, you open your eyes, you go, I'm doing what I want to do today for a living, how I'm earning my money and how I'm providing for my family. I'm doing it with literally what I would want to do. If I had any choice in the world, that, in my opinion, is true success. And Ariel seems to be.
But it's also really taking control of your life, isn't it? You know what I mean? I don't know what he's going to do, but let's assume that he's going to start his own thing. Well, then he's becoming his own boss and it's his own network and he's growing and building his own worth. You know what I mean? Don't get me wrong, ESPN. I mean, that's as big as it gets, but you know, you still got to toe the company line. You still got to do as you're told. You still got to, you know, say how high when they say jump. If he's doing his own thing, then God bless the man, you know?
Yeah. No, yeah. I think he's great. I think Errol's awesome. And yeah, nobody wants to have a fucking boss. That's the dream.
All right, let's hear from one of our sponsors, IP Vanish. We are welcoming them back to today's show. IP Vanish have been a longtime sponsor of ours, so it's great to have them back. So let me tell you about IP Vanish. If you care about the security of your online activity, the easiest way to protect yourself is with IP Vanish VPN. What is VPN? It is a virtual private network. And this one is rated 4.5 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot. IP Vanish provides encrypted connections for all your internet traffic, helping to prevent websites, Wi-Fi providers, and even hackers from intercepting your data. And it's very, very important in this day and age. Of course, you don't want people hacking into your bank account, hacking into your Instagram. You know, people are always trying to do that, trying to get into all your little, I don't know what clubs you're a member of, what things you're logged into on your internet. But these people, it's very, very simple in this day and age with a virtual private network. It's way more difficult, if not impossible, Lewis.
It's funny you say that. You're like, oh, I don't know what you belong to and what clubs you belong to. Good. And I want to keep it that way. I don't want Michael Bisping to know. I don't want hackers to know. I don't want the government to know. I want everyone to get out of my business. And this is a great way to do it. There's also certain websites. If you ever noticed, Bisping, you've been traveling and you're like, wait, I can't get into certain websites. If you're using a VPN, a lot of the time you can.
Yeah. Also, if you ever go to Fight Island,
There's no porn on Abu Dhabi, okay? VPN, baby. Cruise away. Fucking browse away. Fill your boots. Go crazy. IP vanish. If, I'm telling you, that's not all they do. They do many, many other things. They will protect your bank data, your personal data, et cetera, et cetera. But that's just another little fringe benefit, Lewis.
Now, listen to me. You want to try this out. Anybody who knows about using the internet uses a VPN, and you can help keep your financial details, personal information, and online activity safe from threats with IP vanish. And right now you can get started with this limited time offer. Save 50% off monthly and annual subscriptions by going to ipvanish.com/believe. One more time, that's ipvanish.com/believe, all lowercase. Save 50% on monthly and annual subscriptions. Okay, where were we?
I'm looking at these notes. There's not a lot here, really.
What else is there?
There's not a lot, but Harrington, what would you say is the hot topic? Colby? Yeah, that's the only one I keep looking at. I keep going, scrolling up, scrolling down, coming back to the Colby. But the only reason I didn't want to do it is because it involves the Paul brothers. But still, Colby Covington says that Tyrone Woodley... Colby Covington says that Tyrone Woodley will take a dive in his bout with Jake Paul because the former champion needs the money badly. He says, I really think Tyrone is going to go out there and take a dive. I think he's broke. He needs the money. He's got mouths to feed. He's got a lot of alimony checks to pay. So I think he's just going to go out there and take a dive. Pardon me. It's going to be a circus. And we know boxing is the most corrupt sport in the world as it is. So this little side circus that they're doing with Jake Paul, of course, they're going to favor his way. Going to favor his way to make it a work.
Huh. I don't think that's true at all. I think that Tyron, and he's done an interview about this recently. He said he wants to go into boxing now. And I do believe him when he says that. I think he's like...
Of course he does.
Getting a big payday. Boxing, for all intents and purposes, probably easier training than, you know, mixed martial arts training, especially at the highest level. So, you know, why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't he give it a shot? I think there's more of a lucrative path to, if you beat Jake Paul in taking some other big payday fights, I don't think Jake Paul would pay him enough to take a dive. And to be honest with you, Tyron seems like a very proud person.
Yeah.
I don't think that he'd want to go out like that if it's not real.
Well, we were going to have Tyron on our show on Thursday, but because we're here and it's in person, we're probably going to try and postpone that and do it next week because it's just a little easier setup to have guests. But you know, Colby there, he's not completely inaccurate. I'm sure there is maybe some financial difficulty. Now, I'm not saying that he's broke and I don't know anything about the situation. I've never had that conversation with Tyron. It's none of my business. I'm not going to pry. But I did see he did an interview a while ago and he did allude to the fact that maybe he got a little out of control with his spending habits. You know, he went into a shop, he was looking at a Rolex, he couldn't decide which one he wanted, so he just bought them all. Do you know what I mean? And it's hard, you know, when you're a champion of the world like Tyron is or was, and for as long as Tyron was, you do fall into the trap. You think it's going to come forever. You think these massive windfalls are going to come in and you do get used to spending large amounts of money. I mean, I did it to a certain degree, a way lesser degree, but, you know, I bought a fucking stupid Maserati for cash. You know what I mean? Absolutely ridiculous. There's no need to do that. Definitely regret that. You know what I mean? You do these stupid little things, and he does have a lot of kids, and he has lost a few fights, and he isn't with the UFC. So maybe he does need money. So reinventing himself as a boxer, not a bad idea. Certainly against Jake Paul, it's a high-profile fight where he can win this fight, certainly, and he's going to be... He'd probably have a contract with Showtime, then he can parlay that into more credible boxing fights with Showtime. So yeah, good for him. I don't think it's because he's necessarily broke. I don't like that Colby talks about that stuff, though. You know what I mean?
Colby's trolling as well.
No, for sure.
Whether it's true or not, that's Colby's going to say something like that. And I don't think Colby really believes that Tyron's going to take a dive. It's just his way to take his dig at Tyron.
There's no way Tyron's going to take a dive.
No. No, that's stupid. No, that's very, very dumb.
That is not going to happen. What benefit?
You don't become world champion of the world by having that in
you. From going out there, trying to reinvent himself as a boxer and take a dive against a fucking YouTuber.
Yeah.
How does that benefit Tyron Woodley?
Yeah.
How?
Well, you know, it's funny. It was kind of in the shit talking with Jake.
I keep saying how, and you go, yeah. I go, how? You go, yeah.
No, I thought it was a rhetorical question because obviously it doesn't.
It is a rhetorical question, but give me an answer.
There's no fucking answer. It's a rhetorical question. It's a definition of a rhetorical question.
How does it benefit Jake Paul? Tyron Woodley. No.
You know what Jake said when they were squaring off? They're talking shit, and it's good and good. I'm biting, obviously. But Jake was like, how about this? He was like, dude, I'll double your purse if you beat me, but if I beat you, you have to donate your money to charity. And Tyron had no answer.
I knew
he wouldn't say
that because I wouldn't either. Tyron was like, maybe Colby's right. Maybe he does have a lot of alimony payments. He's like, listen, motherfucker, I'm getting $1 million. I am not not putting this on the line. Do you know what I mean? I'm not doing that. I'm not going through all of this. I'm not doing this circus. I'm not having a training camp to potentially go home with nothing, just so that at this moment, right here, right now, I can look like the man and not back down to your threats.
Well,
you know what I'm saying? Because we've all been there, I'm sure, at some situation like that.
Of course. Well, and honestly, look, it was a baller move for Jake. Jake's good at talking shit. He catches him in that moment. Tyron doesn't have anything for it. He did say later in a separate interview, like a media scrum, that he was like, I'm taking Jake seriously. He's a boxer. This is a fight. I'm not looking at a YouTuber. He was like, I'd be stupid. So I think that number one, I think he's telling the truth with that. And if he is taking him seriously, that would be a fucking stupid move. Why would you put $1 million? Is that what he's getting?
Apparently so. That's what I heard. But also, you got to understand as well, for the person with the big fortune, you know, with the money in the bank, it's easy for them to make those kind of threats or bets. You know, because by all accounts, Jake Paul is loaded. I don't know his financial status, but he does have, 30 million YouTube subscribers. And knowing a tiny bit about the YouTube business, subscribe to the YouTube page.
Subscribe.
That's all I'm saying.
We know we just told you to unsubscribe.
I want 30 million subscribers, for fuck's sake. I want to be making bets against Tyron Woodley. Yes. He can throw around those $1 million bets. And if he loses it, he doesn't give a fuck. Tyron Woodley, I'm just going to go out on a limb and say probably not so much.
No, not at all. I mean, but what if it was definitely a good little moment. We're going to get more of those.
That was great.
Yeah, obviously, we're going to see what happens there. I couldn't be rooting for Tyron Woodley anymore. And that's, you know, this was kind of an interesting conversation today at the gym that some guys were having, because everyone was talking about the Logan Paul fight, obviously. And something that was sort of thrown around by a few people was like, you know what, at least they're sort of shedding a light on fighter pay. And, you know, but it's not really the same thing. That's not like they're celebrities. It's not, you can't expect fighters to come up and get paid $20, $30 million like these guys are getting paid if they're not drawing like that. This is simply.
That's not how it works.
Yeah, it's not how it works. People will pay for, you pay for what you get, right? And no offense to any, you know, smaller guy in the UFC or in any mixed martial arts organization, but you're not going to go and sell a couple million pay-per-views. So.
No. So the thing is, real fighters that are fighters, that people are household names that are established, they become celebrities through their fighting. Mm. You know what I mean? So that's why by the end of it, number one, they deserve the big paydays because they're good enough and they're beating all the competition. Also because of that, because they are beating people and they are getting a following, people watch them, then they start getting into the habit of watching all of their fights and you become the commodity, you become the star. And then through that, you become a celebrity. When you're coming into the boxing world, like these Paul brothers or other people, as you say, you're coming in as a celebrity, so you're bringing that following with you immediately. As you said, a great point. If Brad Pitt stepped into a ring, everyone's gonna watch.
We'll all pay for it. Brad Pitt versus George Clooney, let's go.
I think Brad Pitt takes it.
100%, dude.
George Clooney's old as fuck.
Yeah.
He's not handsome, old as fuck. Handsome I like guy. Him. I like
he's
George
the man.
Clooney.
He's the man.
I heard him on Howard Stern last week. He's awesome.
Oh, hell yeah.
Fuck it. I got George Clooney in the second.
All day.
Old man strength. Let's go. No. So listen, that's a good point, though.
Right.
You know, a lot of people are going to watch Brad Pitt. Obviously, he can't box, but he's a bona fide celebrity. So it's a good point. If you're a boxer, you know, you don't get paid good at the start. If you're a fighter, you don't get paid good at the start. In anything you're doing, you don't get paid good at the start. I mean, look at Harrington. I don't know what you pay him. Looking at him, it's not much, okay? But he's going to get better. He's going to grow up. You know what I mean? One day he's going to have two of those fancy boots that he's got on. Right now he's walking around with one shoe on, okay? Yeah. One day you can have two shoes, Harrington.
People talk about boxing like they're paid so much more than mixed martial artists. And I would love to look at what the average mixed martial artist is paid versus the average boxer, because I guarantee you the average UFC fighter is making more money than the average boxer.
Yeah. You know, the big argument there is, and I don't want to get into fighter pay too much because it's a tricky one, you know what I mean? But of course, in these big boxing events, you know, they're making crazy money, you know, $100 million, Mayweather. You know, you don't get those purses in MMA, but it's a different business. It's a very, very different model. The reality is, though, outside of world champions in boxing, outside of the household names, a lot of boxing events, you look at the undercard and see what these people are getting paid. I think there was people on the, I could be wrong here, but I seem to remember a headline on the Mayweather-McGregor fight. There were people on the undercard that were getting paid $500.
$500 a show, $500 bucks.
You know, I don't know what the minimum base pay is now in the UFC, but I think it's like $10,000-$15,000.
Yeah, it's way.
You know, and if you're
in recent times when it was $2,500 a show.
Yeah, no, sure, it's going up all the time. You know, and so you get to the UFC, and these days because the sport is growing and the roster is bigger and they got so many fights, you don't necessarily need to be having 15 professional fights. You've seen people getting signed to the UFC; they've got 5 or 6 fights.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, and they can perform. They're very good. They got athletic backgrounds, and they're earning. I mean, if they win and it's 15 and 15, they're getting 30,000. If you're in the boxing world at that stage, you'd be getting fuck all.
Yeah.
You'd be getting nothing. You would not be on TV. You would not have a platform. You would not have your social media followers going through the roof because people are seeing what you're doing. And then that by itself provides another revenue stream. You wouldn't be getting all the sponsors and all the rest of it. So again, it sounds like I'm being a UFC shill. What I'm saying is that when you get to the UFC, if you're fighting 3 times a year for that kind of money, you know, from being a fighter, from choosing an athletic career, that is incredibly hard to be successful at, you're making 6 figures pretty much.
Yeah, and there's a path to becoming a multimillionaire without even being a champion, which is pretty crazy. You look at what, like, and I'm not a UFC shill at all. Like, I don't work for the UFC. I have no connection to the UFC. But the reality is I have so much respect, just as even from the business perspective. I always look at businesses and the way they grow, and the UFC is such a great business, and they've created an industry where a lot of people have very, very lucrative careers, and people are like, well, why don't they just pay everybody as much as boxers? Well, guys, they're creating a future for future generations of mixed martial artists as well. There's no branding behind boxing. Who knows what the difference between the WBO, the WBA, whatever the fuck all these things are. There's 180 titles, I think I read, between all of them. There's just not as much value. So I think it is an interesting debate at the very least. But we have seen the UFC. I think they've done a great job at, you know, really legitimizing this sport and giving people an opportunity to get very wealthy.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I'm sitting in a half mansion right now.
No, I left school at 16 with no education whatsoever. Okay, I'm not a total idiot, but, you know, through my UFC career, I've done pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, I've got some money put away, I've got some savings, some investments, yada, yada, yada. And I'm surrounded by people with one shoe on. Okay, Saturday night, I had the pleasure of interviewing Israel Adesanya and Marvin Vettori. Mm. Obviously, they're fighting this weekend. Massive fight card this weekend.
I'm excited
for it. You guys are idiots. You're leaving on Friday.
I know.
Saturday, we could have got the TV hung up there. We could have had the fire pit on. We had the beers flowing. You know what I mean?
I have a child. I have to be his father.
Well, you should be there right now. You're not there now?
You want to know a sad text message I got? Beatrice texted me. She's like, James really misses you. He wants to FaceTime you.
Deal with it.
I told her.
Grow up, okay? You can't have everything you want. It's not always sunshine and rainbows, okay? Some people don't have a father.
Yeah, that's true.
You just got a father. That's,
I didn't have a father.
He's just, you just ditched him for a week.
Yeah.
You're going back. You know
what
I mean?
I ditched him for a week.
Come on, James. Put it in perspective.
Days. Then I ditched him again for another week, and I feel really bad.
You should have ditched him for an extra day. We're going to watch this sensational fight card. Nate Diaz, obviously Leon Edwards. We got Davison Figueiredo and Brandon Moreno. That was, the first fight was absolutely insane.
Was that fight of the year last year?
I'm not sure if it was fight of the year, but it certainly was one of them.
I thought it was a fucking rattlesnake. Oh, that fucked me up.
That's your people.
Doggy. The sprinklers just went on behind me. That was a real reaction. I thought a rattlesnake was about to kill me.
That was
the scariest thing I've ever heard in my life.
But of course, the one that everyone's excited for is Israel Adesanya, Marvin Vettori. They fought before. It was a split decision. I don't know if it really was a split decision. I think Israel won the first 2 rounds, even though they were close. They were close. Third round was Vettori. If I'm remembering it right, it was a long time ago. Vettori got the takedowns in the third round, controlled him for a while. Anyway,
advocate, if it's a 5-round fight, maybe Vettori takes over.
No, for sure.
Right?
Maybe. But the reason I'm bringing this up now, because we're going to talk about it, I'm going to hype up all the fights on Thursday's show, give some predictions and all that good stuff. I had to interview them on Saturday. No, Friday, I had to go in a day early. I had to interview Israel and Vettori. And they do not like each other. Oh, my God. So I had to do this a few weeks ago. I interviewed Brian Ortega and Alexander Volkanovski. They just did The Ultimate Fighter. And it was damn near bloody impossible. Because them two were just talking shit back and forth. And I was trying to get in.
Volkanovski and...
Yeah.
Oh, good.
And but there was like a little bit of a delay. Volkanovski was in a... He was by a pool at a Vegas hotel with music blasting. It was not conducive to the best interview.
Right.
Anyway, so I was like, I've got to do a better job this time. You know, UFC, give me another crack of the whip. You know, I'm going to nail this one. I'm looking in the mirror like, you're the man. Okay, let's go. They fucking won't let me get a word in edgeways. Do you know what I mean? Because of course they hate each other.
But
so they were just going.
The fans like that though. They want that heat.
I'm joking. It was awesome. I loved it. It was great. And they, I mean, listen, if you saw that, if you weren't interested in the fight before, you're definitely interested in it now. Listen, Vittori's on a great streak. Adesanya's incredible to watch. He's just such a great martial artist. And they hate and detest one another. And on top of that, Vittori does have the ability to beat him. So it's a great fight. It's an evenly matched fight. You don't know who's going to win. And they detest one another. And they were getting very, very personal. I think the UFC had to edit out, you know, quite, there was nothing too bad.
The whole extended cut is on YouTube. It's a 12-minute interview. Right. So yeah, for the broadcast, obviously for time purposes, but I think you're right. I think also if they're going to take the liberties to edit things out, they're going to fucking...
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't too bad. There was no racist remarks or anything stupid like that, but it was just...
Not on camera.
No, but it was just, you know, Adesanya was snorting at him, calling him a big... and all that type of stuff, which I thought was pretty funny, you know, calling him an orc. And then Adesanya, so Vittori was going back at him. But the thing that seems to be making the headlines, according to Harrington, was the fashion choices. Harrington, can you come and elaborate to Lewis?
Hobble over here.
And show yourself.
Harrington. Mike Harrington.
Pardon me?
I said, ladies and gentlemen, the great Mike Harrington.
Look at this guy. Hobbling. Hobbling over with one shoe on. Right, this is what we're dealing with, ladies and gentlemen. He says he's going to fight Brian on Wednesday.
He's getting fat, too. We need to point this out.
He's lost 60 pounds.
Yeah, but he's gaining it back. Look at him.
He's enjoying himself. He's having a week off.
Stop doing this. Stop
he's having it. Some pancakes.
And some French toast.
I'm genuinely insecure about gaining weight. Please stop this.
So what's this about Vittori and think he's fashion? Because I thought they looked very cool. I thought Adesanya had a very... I liked his robe. It was black. It was shiny. It looked expensive. You know what I mean? I thought it was a good look. Vittori, on the flip side, he was a little more out there. He had a big lion, but it was very colorful. Certainly, it's Pride Month. I just thought it was all in keeping with that. And I thought it was great.
It looked like Vittori was dressed like an African.
It really did.
It looked like he was out of Coming to America, the opening scene.
King Jaffa Jafar. Okay. but he did look like Jaffa Jafar. But, you didn't like it.
It's not that I didn't like it. I'm just saying that all the MMA outlets that were reporting on it, they weren't focusing so much on the content of what the two were saying, but much more on what they were wearing.
Well, that just shows how shit MMA journalists are. Great fight, massive title fight. They're talking shit back and forth, and they're focusing on the fashion choices.
Who do you think was dressed better?
I mean, Israel was pretty much naked. What I gotta say is, I liked that gown.
You like him being naked, okay?
No, I don't like him being naked, but I thought it was cool.
Okay,
I liked it, you know.
I thought Vittori's was cool too, but I mean,
we both had the white earbuds in though.
Yeah,
I don't like that. I get aggravated whenever I see somebody with the earbuds in.
Yeah,
I mean, fair enough. They're doing an interview on TV. That's okay. They're doing an interview. They need to hear. First of all, I can't put them in my ears because of my cauliflower ear. So like. I'm a little annoyed there straight away.
They just hang out and fall out.
They just don't go in. Simple as that. People are like, Mike, buy some earbuds. I'm like, fuck off. Okay. Leave me alone. No, but if you're walking down the street and you're engaging in your day-to-day life and you have those earbuds in all the time, I'm sorry if anyone does this. I apologize. But you're a dick.
I don't even get earbuds. I lose my headphones that are connected. So the idea of having two separate tiny little things, I would lose them within a day, guaranteed.
Callum loses them all the time.
Oh, yeah, no, fuck that.
What you could do is you could spend $2.99 on Amazon. They're coming with a wire. And guess what? If you lose them, you don't care. In fact, you could throw them away. You could just rip them up just for fun and get some more.
Wait, what do you mean?
It's cheap little wired ones.
Oh, the wired. Oh, headphones. Yeah.
Little headphones. Who cares? Lose them, leave them on a plane. Who cares?
I lost three pair of Beats. The only reason I have a pair of Beats now is because somebody else left their Beats at my house.
We'll never buy Beats.
Never again.
Ever again.
Why not? You hate Dr. Dre. Say it. He hates Dr. Dre.
I actually love Dr. Dre.
Well, big buy his
fan.
Product.
Big fan. But no. Listen, I will not be force-fed this bullshit any longer by this huge conglomerate, Apple, that are taking over the universe. No.
Shout out Steve Jobs. You're the fucking
fuck
man.
Fuck Steve Jobs. Shout out Steve Jobs. quick U-turn there. No, I think collectively over the years, I'm going to say it's almost $5,000 I've spent on Beats headphones, right? Because it's like the in thing when they first came out. Every Christmas, three kids, they want Beats headphones. They don't last 2 minutes. Or I've got so many pairs where only one of the headphones works. The sound only comes out of one side and stuff. They're like three, four, $500 even. It's like, no, I am sorry. It is done. Call me cheap. Call me whatever you want, but I will not. In fact, they're banned. If anyone has Beats headphones, get out of my house.
Unsubscribe. If you have Beats headphones unsubscribe. At home right now, unsubscribe from our YouTube channel,
you're listening to this with a pair of Beats headphones. I don't want to know you.
Yeah.
We don't want you to watch the show.
Beat it. Get it?
Beat it. I do get it, unfortunately.
Yeah, dude. Skull Candy, JVC, a nice $20 pair of Skull Candies at the airport. Sound good.
I've had the same ones for the podcast for a long time now. I got them off Amazon. They don't look very good, but my God, they're reliable. They work, and they didn't cost much money.
Yeah.
What else? All right. What else? Do you want to talk about how badly you got your ass kicked today?
All right. We can show a video. I did get my ass kicked. I will give Michael Bisping some credit.
No, I didn't kick your ass. We're having a laugh. But
he literally kicked my ass. You can't downplay. You literally kicked my ass.
I was bringing that up just saying, so, you know, how was the experience? You guys came down to Ruka this morning. It's great gym, great energy, great atmosphere. Shout out to Pat Tenori, Jason Perillo, of course. Such a great gym. Such a unique setting for a gym. Obviously, it's in the Ruka warehouse. So you're walking through there. It's very cool. It's completely private. So
all white and gray. Like a cool, like I haven't seen another gym that looks like that.
The
like
aesthetics are fantastic.
Yeah, really
and
cool.
That's why whenever I used to do anything where people film like countdown shows or a documentary or whatever it is, when people want content, they always want to film at the Ruka gym because it just looks so good on camera. It really does. And people say, oh, it must be terrible for the blood. Not at all. You know what I mean?
What?
If anybody bleeds or whatever.
Oh, for the...
Just wipe it up. Just like was regardless of whatever color, you would still have to wipe that blood up.
Most canvases are going to be a gray or a lighter color anyway.
It doesn't seep into the plastic of the canvas. So I don't know why people think that. But
I thought it was an incredible experience. Michael Bisping is... I've never sparred with somebody as fast or dynamic or diverse. It really sucks. It's not fun. Even like we're just doing drills and the drills suck. Just like doing the drills, I was like, oh, fuck, dude. He's slipping some of these through. And then I was afraid to hit him because the one time that I hit him, that was it. It was like I unleashed a lion. Then he opened up the fucking floodgates and he started pouring it on me.
We'll just learn.
That
is what you do.
I am trying.
If Jason Ellis hits you, you hit him back so hard.
Yeah, but Jason Ellis is going to hit as hard or as fast as you.
You don't know that. He's got a little pop.
If he can hit as hard as fast as you, I'm pulling out of the fight right now. There's no fucking way. But actually, it's kind of funny. I like sparring with you because anybody else feels like it's slow motion compared to you. And
He's got a little pop.
He's got a little pop. I got a little pop.
I just keep saying that. I only say that just to annoy him. Do you know what I mean? Then a show a few weeks ago, you were like, what? What? No.
I got 5 months left. Let me ask you a question. For where you... So we fucked around today.
No. You were better than last time you came here. No, you've definitely improved. That's without a shadow of a doubt. You've definitely improved. You've definitely got better. We didn't roll. I wanted to roll a little bit at the end. It's just disgusting. It's disgusting, right? It's a sweaty pig, right? Here's a little tip. If anyone goes to an MMA gym, right, and you're going to roll or do jiu-jitsu or wrestle or whatever, he's got on a vest, which is great. If you're going to go to the beach, awesome. Or wife beater. We call it a vest in England.
Okay.
Tank top, sorry. But it's like, what's that, triple XL?
No, it's XL.
It's fucking
big. I've lost a little weight.
Oh, I don't know about that. it was huge. It was sweaty. It was gross. And it was because it's so loose, I'm not rolling because I've done it before. And when you're rolling with someone and they've got a loose, sweaty top on, you end up sucking it into your mouth. Right?
Edit point. cut that.
No, but you know what I mean? Yeah. And he had, you know, the whole, the armpits and everything. I'm like, no, you're a sweaty animal. Put on a reasonable shirt, maybe a dry shirt. How about that? And we can do a little jiu-jitsu.
And then I said, hey, dude, if you don't want to roll, just say you don't want to roll.
So I just rolled with Luke Rockhold instead. I was really ducking the competition.
Which is awesome. Go check out, we should put the video of him and Luke rolling at the end, which was such a fun experience. Because you and Luke, you guys are very like cool with each other now, obviously. And Luke's cool. He was a cool guy.
Yeah, no, Luke was great today. And he is, you know what I mean? We were rivals. We were intense rivals. So there's always going to be that little thing there. But I think the more times I've seen him, we're getting better and better. And so today I was like, come on, let's have a little roll. But I must admit, because there must have been 50 cameras in there. Everyone's got the bloody, you know, everyone's filming in there because, you know, everyone's got their own agenda.
It's all future or current world champions.
Yeah,
that's
exactly. So people are filming. Anyway, so we're doing jiu-jitsu. And obviously, if someone's got a shoe on, a wrestling shoe or a boxing shoe or whatever, you can grip that pretty good. So we started doing a little jiu-jitsu and I'm standing up and I'm like, oh, he's got wrestling boots on. Rolling toe hold. Here we go. Yeah. I was like, total dick move, but I didn't get it. I did it and I ended up underneath, but I was like, oh, rolling toe hold. Here we go. See, this is, I'm going to shock the world here.
He just rolled because he saw the wrestling shoes and it was an opportunity to embarrass Luke.
Yes. 100. It's called trying to win. I'm sorry, Lewis, let me give you a lesson. In this fight, you're going to try and win. You're going to try and win, okay? Yeah. If you see an opportunity, you take it. Yeah. If you see someone's got on a dumb wrestling shoe and you can use that to your ability to force somebody to quit whilst being filmed, you take it.
Yeah, Luke, dude, he's such a unique character too, because like everyone else is kind of like just chilling out, and then you look over and Luke is... got his shirt off, his wrestling shoes on, is just walking on his hands across the mat. Like, what the fuck is going on with
this
guy?
It's true.
He's just
said
gorgeous.
It like,
his body's just ripped.
He's doing
dogs running around. He's just a weirdo.
Yeah, his dog's running around on the mat. Not sanitary. I'm just saying.
Thank God it's not Alfie running around on the mat.
Oh,
just shit everywhere.
Shitting everywhere. Jizzing everywhere. My God. Shout out Alfie.
Yeah, Alfie is coming and shitting in heaven right now.
I hope so. God bless him. I hope fucking God is up there having to wipe his ass. Because I tell you what, God will definitely swear and go bad. If he has to do, he has to tolerate what Rebecca had to do three times a night. Right, I don't know what God's sleeping pattern's like, but he's not going to be on a good one.
After a week, he's like, straight to hell.
He's like, fuck this. Yeah, exactly. three times a night, wiping his ass, cleaning up diarrhea, scraping jizz off the
Dito's
floor.
Dito's in hell? We decided that on the show.
Dito's in hell.
Dito's in hell. Alfie's in heaven, though.
Dito was a killer.
I mean, Dito killed two of your dogs.
He killed Charlie. He took an eye from Harry. He attacked so many people and so many dogs. Alfie, on the flip side, big cuddly teddy bear, never bit anybody, never even had like a brrr with a dog.
He was fucking Dito's pussy. Asshole was fine.
Alfie was a pussy, okay? But I love you, brother. I hope you're happy up there. All right, so.
Do you think Dito's now bullying Alfie in heaven? Just like biting his face?
He's a dickhead if
he is.
He's
a dick.
And it's weird. And listen, anyone out there that's going through some stuff right now, just realize time heals everything. Because when Dito died, I was filming a movie, Triple Threat. We've talked about it. Michael Joel White wasn't a dog fan. Shout out Michael Joel White, great guy. I was heartbroken. I mean, heartbroken. I remember I was driving back to my hotel from this jungle in Thailand and I had a beer and I was like... this one's for you, Dito. And I was like, you know, and I'm not a religious man, but I was like, in my mind, I was like, if you're up there, buddy, just know, you know. Now,
give me a sign. And then the tuk-tuk hit a rock and your friend almost died.
I'm like, fuck Dito. If you're starting an Alfie, you know what I mean? So the time heals everything. If you've broken up with somebody, maybe not a loved one passed away. That is a little dark.
If your mom,
that pain's never going to go away.
If your mom died a week ago, don't worry, guys.
It'll
you're going to be totally
get
fine.
Get a new one. Get a new mom. All right. I think that's the show.
That's basically the show.
How long have we been going for?
An hour and 20.
Hour and 20? Oh, that'll do. That'll do. All right.
That was fun.
Maybe next time we'll do it inside because I'm starting to get cold.
Let's do it at Ruka this week. We'll get Luke on the show for the first time.
Ooh.
That'll be fun, dude.
We'll try and get Luke, Cheeto, Perillo, Pat Tenori, Mackenzie Dern.
Yeah, we'll get everyone.
We'll just get him on a rotation. The only thing is, though, because you know, he's a badass. He wants to train.
Me, yeah,
you know what I mean?
But we'll train first or maybe do the pod first.
We would have to sit there, do the pod, and then maybe train or train and then do the
train,
pod.
Train, then do the pod. We'll be fine.
But you got to go early because if you want them to be there, the fighters, they got schedules. They got places
to
be.
Bone to pick with Michael Bisping?
Bone to pick.
I'll say it now because we're on air because you can't bully me. You can't bully me when we're on air.
Pick a bone.
This motherfucker said we're leaving at 10 a.m. He said it clear as day. I get back at 10 a.m. on the dot. Here we go. Oh, we're late because of you. We should be there early.
No.
Doggy. What time's training, doggy?
10 o'clock.
10:30, mate. We'll leave at 10.
10 o'clock. No, 10 o'clock is training. That's what I said. I didn't say leave at 10. I said training's 10.
They're all pussies and they won't back me up. They all know I'm right, but they're all looking at their fucking feet right now because you're pussies.
10:15, 10:30, something like that. 10:45, it's almost don't bother. Do you know what I mean? 11 o'clock, turn the car around.
Devil's advocate?
Go ahead.
It was fine.
No, I know, but still, you did... He gets up this morning. I've got out of bed. I'm fucking hungover from the day before. I'm like, just fucking leave me alone. Let me have my morning coffee in peace. And he's going on. He's on the phone. He's fucking, he's walking up and down in my house. Fucking, I'm privy to all these fucking bullshit calls, shouting at people. I'm like, Lewis, shut the fuck up. I was like, I'm going to rent a car. I'm going to rent a car right now, this second. 8 o'clock. I'm like, well, we're going out. We're going to go to Ruka. And when we come back, there's a rental car place right there. Let's do what we're doing. I'll drop you off. You get the car. All good. No, I'm going now. You were late.
We were sitting there for 3 hours. And let me say this, because Bisping, he's a very gracious host, and he really is. Like, he when you come here, he wants to take care of everyone. He wants to make sure everyone's accommodated. He wants to make sure everyone feels at home. But Michael Bisping in the morning is a cunt. I'll say it right to your face.
Listen. You ask Rebecca, generally. Oh, no, this morning, of course. Yeah. I have been dying today. I've been dying. Rebecca, what's with the face? You ask Rebecca. Come over here. Looking very military.
She does look like a Nazi. I gotta be honest with you. She looks.
Why are you dressed like a Nazi with blonde hair, blue eyes?
Can you goose step over here?
Come over here. You're not being accused of being racist. Come sit on my knee. See what a guy I am.
There we go.
Sit down, baby. In the morning, am I a morning person? Say the right thing. No. This morning I was a dick. Yeah. This morning I was hung over.
Every morning.
No, I was just quiet, and Lewis was shouting a lot.
Bisping wants to watch. He wants to watch the news and have his coffee, and he doesn't want anyone to interrupt.
No. You can do your own thing. You do whatever you want.
Like going and renting a car and leaving you alone.
Just shouting about it for a fucking 3 hours, and then making me late. The whole purpose you were here, and it's all we've heard about for weeks. Can't wait for Ruka. We're gonna be late for Ruka because I'm gonna go rent a car right now at a really bad time, babe. I'm good in the morning. Sorry.
Yeah, but why were you annoyed this morning then?
I was just a little quiet and a little grouchy.
So you're not a morning person.
No, because I'm not generally hungover. I haven't been hungover in a long time.
True. Sometimes you're very annoying in the morning because I'm not a morning person.
Yeah, and I'm full of energy and full of beans and happy-go-lucky.
Full of beans.
It's very irritating. You need to stop.
Am I happy-go-lucky in the morning?
So happy-go-lucky.
Am I all smiles and rainbows and butterflies?
Yes.
Yeah, Luis J. Gomez wrong again.
I know.
Oh, just there it is.
Great Diego Lopez. Diego, how much am I not happy go lucky in the morning? Am I not energetic?
Thank you so much for having me. Okay.
No. Go back a minute. Seriously, you look like a ventriloquist puppet sitting on his lap. Go on, you go and do it.
On the lap.
Sit on my lap. Come on. In the lap. He's a vegan. He likes it.
It's part of the diet.
Diego Lopez, ladies and gentlemen, by the way, stand-up comedian, vegan extraordinaire. What else?
Doesn't define his personality.
It does, because I'm having to cook for him, okay?
You guys just...
He's the annoying vegan. I'm sorry.
Yeah. You guys just miss him saying that he's also a model. Like, everyone just glazed over that.
Oh, sorry. You asked.
Hey, listen.
Rebecca,
listen, we're doing chicken, we're doing sausages, we're doing burgers, we're doing jalapenos wrapped in bacon. I was like, oh, fucking, we need the impossible, mate. But then when you throw it on there, I'll be honest, when it's dark at night, I don't know if you got a vegan burger.
Yeah, I asked, so that's all matters.
I couldn't tell them apart. They all look the same in dark at night.
What about Puerto Rico?
They do.
All right, guys, that's it. We'll be back Thursday with a show, maybe from Ruka, maybe not. Maybe we won't do a show. You never know. Who knows?
Who knows?
Maybe this is the last ever one.
Don't subscribe.
It's the last one. There's no need. Take care, guys. See you soon.
Here you go. I could not do that to Callum.
Oh,